Morning, Tabernacle. January, right? The new year, it's a season for resolutions, right? New Year's resolution. Anybody make New Year's resolutions, right? Some do it, some, opposed to doing it. But this is the time to kind of take inventory of the past year and think about what do we want to do to drive our life forward in the coming year. And you know what the top three reasons or resolutions that people tend to give? There's three main reasons that come up year after year after year. Now, some of you might be like, well, I'm going to have a better draft in my fantasy football league this coming year. Well, that's not one of the top three. Or maybe it's like you're going to make the resolution that I'm not going to watch college football anymore because Alabama always wins and I'm tired of seeing Alabama win. That's not one of the top three. The top three resolutions are exercise more, lose weight, and save money. Think about it. Exercise more, lose weight, and save money. It's all about fitness, physical fitness, and financial fitness. But today I want us to focus on spiritual fitness. What are we going to do to grow spiritually this coming year? Now, Jonathan Edwards, we're just talking about this song that was written in the 1700s. Jonathan Edwards, a great theologian, lived in the 1700s. He actually penned 70 resolutions at the age of 19, 70 of them. They covered the gamut from prayer to scripture reading to time management. It was all about how can I totally give my life to God. And so my question this morning to you is, not what's the 70, but what's the one thing you're going to focus on this year to dedicate your life to God? What's the one thing, not 70, but what's just the one thing you're going to go after in 2021? Now, some of us, as we heard, don't like setting goals, right? Some like to set goals and others don't. But let me tell you, whether you set them or not, there is a direction being set in your life. Because you're either consciously pursuing something or you're unconsciously letting it happen to you. Hear me on this. You're either actively pursuing spiritual growth or you're passively letting yourself drift. And the problem is that our tendency is to kind of not be intentional about our spiritual growth. And so when you're not intentional about your spiritual growth, you tend to just react to your feelings. It's true of anything. That's how we're wired as human beings. We'll just react to what comes our way. So if you think about feelings, when we think about feelings, we're in big trouble if we're just reacting to our feelings. I don't feel like getting up in the morning. I don't feel like working out. I don't feel like eating my vegetables. I don't feel like, going to the gym. I don't feel like praying this morning. I don't feel like reading the word. See, if we're just reacting to our feelings, we're going to be in deep trouble. So are you actively going to pursue something this year when it comes to your faith, or are you passively letting your life and your spiritual life just drift? Again, are you actively pursuing spiritual growth, or are you passively letting it drift? And if there's one thing that the pandemic has done, and I've experienced it myself, is you can become pretty soft in your faith. God did not call us to be spiritual consumers. He did not call us to be spiritual consumers, but to be active participants in growing our faith. So what are you going to do this year? What's the one thing you're going to focus on in 2021 that's going to build your faith and grow a closer relationship to God? So today we're starting a new series entitled Following Jesus Through the Book of Mark. Following Jesus Through the Book of Mark. And today's message is entitled, The One Thing I Do. Paul's New Year's resolution was, but one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forward to that which is ahead, I press towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's New Year's resolution. And I think for us, it's like, one thing we do, putting behind 2020 and reaching forward to 2021. What's, pressing towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the one thing you're going to do this year to live your life with power and purpose? So we're going to start by looking at the book of Mark. And as we begin our series, we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to read through the first 15 verses. So if you'll open your word or your Bible app and keep that open as we go through the first 15 verses in Mark. Mark 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it's important to understand that there are four gospel accounts that talk about the life of Jesus, right? You got Matthew, you have Mark, you have Luke, and you have John, and they're all describing the life of Jesus. Now Matthew and John, we know, were one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. So, right? So they were Jewish, they were 12 of his closest, you know, disciples. And then we have Luke, who we know is a Gentile physician, as well as historian, who hung out with Paul in his missionary journeys. But the question is, who's this Mark? Who's Mark? Well, Mark actually is his second name. His first name is John. So it's John Mark. It's Yohanan Marcus. Yohanan is the Hebrew word for John, and Marcus is the Greek and Roman word for Mark. And Mark was a Palestinian Jew who was a cousin of Barnabas and served with Paul on his first missionary journey. He was also a close companion of Peter. And so many will say this is actually Peter's gospel because he just wrote down the words that Peter dictated. But the whole purpose of Mark writing this was to give us the facts about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Mark's got he writes it very differently. His style is very different from the other writers. He doesn't get into a whole lot of detail. He doesn't tell as many stories. And he's all about action. And it moves very quickly. If he were an MMA fighter, he'd be like Conor McGregor. You know, a lot of action and quick to the punch. That's how Mark writes. So let's look at Mark 1, starting with verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, we learned about this passage back in November, and the whole idea here is that kings and queens back in the day, many years ago, they would send this contingency ahead of them to kind of straighten out the crooked roads and level the hills and make everything smooth so that it prepared the way for the coming king. And so John here is the one that's actually the messenger that's going before the coming King Jesus. And in a very real way, in our lives, if you give your life to Christ, you're preparing the way for the king. How we live our lives, you know, tells others about who this coming king is, who this king is that one day will return again. So what are you preparing the way for? Who are you preparing the way for? What are you going to do in 2021 that's going to prepare the way for this coming king? What's the one thing you're going to do in 2021 to live your life with power and purpose? So point number one is, what's the one thing you're going to do in 2021 that will build your faith and bring you closer to God? What's the one thing that you're going to do? In verse 4, it says, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, what you need to understand is that baptism had been around, right, before John the Baptist. But it was different. It was more of a ceremonial rite. It was something that you would do. You'd wash or cleanse yourself if you actually touched a corpse accidentally. Or if you touched someone who had leprosy, you had to cleanse yourself. And for a Gentile who chose to become join the Jewish religion, they had to be baptized as a sign of kind of that conversion. But what John's bringing here is something radically different. It's a radical innovation, much like, you know, when the smartphone came out, it was just something so different that it radically altered how people lived. And so what John the Baptist was saying is he's bringing a baptism that was radically different. In fact, what he says here is that everybody, including the Jewish leaders, need to repent for the forgiveness of sins. Now imagine if you're part of the Jewish clergy and it's just the Gentiles that have to do it. He's saying all of you, all of the religious people need to repent and confess your sin. So baptism is this kind of active commitment to pursuing a new kind of lifestyle. It's like if you decide to join the Marines, you're committing to a new lifestyle. And the commitment is to live a life that is different. What kind of lifestyle are you committing yourself to in 2021? In verse 6, it says, "Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" And the Matthew and Luke accounts talk about, you know, it says baptized with the Holy Spirit and baptized with fire. Now what I want you to think about is, you know, lately I have noticed, I've never seen so many billboards advertise one product. There's one product all throughout the city of Grand Rapids. You can't escape it. I've never seen one product advertised so much. You know what I'm talking about? What am I talking about? Cannabis, marijuana. I've never seen one product advertised so much. And right down the street on 20th Street, there's this big sign that says, "Church, baptism with fire." Baptism by fire. Church, baptism by fire. And for the church, it's from the Church Cannabis Company. And I went on their website. Don't worry, I'm not using the product. But I went on the website, and it said, the first thing it says is, "Find your church." Find your church, meaning find your church cannabis product at certain locations. And I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, you know, these guys did not, you know, they're trying to be funny and have a play on words or whatever, but these guys did not consult a theologian. They didn't consult a theologian, because you know what baptism by fire means? Baptism by fire is actually the internal judgment of fire that is put on people who do not repent of their sin. And so actually what they're saying is, they're saying, use our product and you will receive the eternal judgment of fire. They didn't consult a theologian, did they? And so I was thinking, if I was a marketing consultant hired by them, and I was thinking of what would be the branding hashtag, I think I'd say, hashtag up in smoke. Hashtag up in smoke. Now again, I'm just to play with words, like they're playing with words. Now again, just being funny here, but all kidding aside, do you understand what's happening when a company does that? They're trying to take something that's good and associate it with something that's really not in the best interest of humanity. And this happens all the time. But you know what's interesting? God does just the opposite. God will take something that's bad and will turn it into something that's good. You know, think of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was thrown into prison, and he was doing the right stuff. He was behaving the right way. All this awful stuff was happening to him. And at the end of his life, when God lifted him up, he says, "What was meant for evil, God used for good." What is meant for evil, God used for good. So when you've been abused as a child, in fact, I just heard a story of a famous baseball player, Daryl Strawberry, many years ago. He was beaten by his father as a kid and told, "You're not going to amount to anything." So when you've been abused as a child, when you've been told that you're just no good, when you're feeling, you know, you have feelings of self-condemnation, or you're getting down on yourself, when life takes you down a dark path where it seems like there's no way out, what Satan intends for evil, God will use for good. He will provide a way of escape. He will direct your path. He will take darkness and turn it into light. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What Satan intends for evil, God will turn and will use for good. And that's point number two. What's meant for evil, God will use for good. Now, there are many things about the Christian faith that make it unique. But one of those things is what's called the Trinity. Now, what you need to understand about the Trinity is that it's not a word that you'll find in the Bible. But it's a word that was used to describe how God reveals himself in Scripture. Okay? So if we look at Scripture, there's several things that become clear. You know, Jesus says this when he's asked the question in Matthew 12:28, of all the commandments, which is the most important, that's what they're asking Jesus, he says, the most important one is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So what he's saying is God is one. He's not a plurality of gods like you have with, say, Hinduism, which has like 33 million gods. He is one. And at the same time, we know that God reveals himself in kind of three different roles. And so we see Jesus saying in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and baptize, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the term Trinity is used to, you know, it's described as one in essence, you know, three in person. One in essence, three in person. Now, one thing you need to understand about the word person is that when this whole concept was formed, the term person was a little different from what we have today. The Latin word for person is persona, which means mask. And it was all taken from the idea that the Greek dramas of the day, if you had one actor, he'd oftentimes play multiple parts. He'd have a mask for one part, a mask for another, a mask for a third. And so this is such a perfect way to kind of represent the Trinity. One person, but three different roles. And so when we look at God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, we see that they each have three different roles. God the Father speaks the world into existence. God the Son came to save us from our sin. And God the Holy Spirit comes to lead us into all truth. Now, an analogy that might be helpful is think of water, okay? You drink water, it's in liquid form, right? But if you go to the freezer to get some ice cubes, what? It's water, but it's in frozen form. Same water, but different form. And then if you're boiling water over the stove, right, you get some steam that rises. Again, three different forms, but the essence of it is H2O, or water. And that's what's being described here. So why do I go into the depth about the Trinity? Well, for one, we oftentimes don't understand some of these unique things, and it's important for us to understand what makes this our Christian faith unique. But the other reason is because the more we understand the Trinity, the more we understand who God is, and the more we understand how he operates in our life. John the Baptist says in Mark 1:8, I have baptized you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so in many churches, you hear a lot about God the Father. You always hear about Jesus. Sometimes you don't hear a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. So who's the Holy Spirit? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? Jesus says this in John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So just before Jesus is crucified, he's telling all of his close disciples, I'm going to leave, but the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. All true believers who accept Jesus as their Savior receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not like a second thing. You believe, you're given the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to get into all the details of the Holy Spirit, but let me just share this. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. The Holy Spirit leads people to Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers, indwells, sanctifies, enables believers to understand the truth of Scripture. The Holy Spirit intercedes for believers. The Holy Spirit seals them until the day of redemption, keeps them. And the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts so that the spiritual fruit might manifest itself for the edification of the body. Now, we often hear words like counselor or advocate or helper to describe the Holy Spirit. But the Greek word here for helper is paraclete. Paraclete isn't what you take to the soccer field when you go play soccer or football. Paracletes, it's not that, all right? But it's paraclete. And the Greek word for paraclete means a couple things, right? It means someone who comforts, someone who consoles, someone who advocates, someone exhorts. You know, it's kind of like this, you know, think about it. If you're in a court or a trial, he's the one that's beside you. He's the one that's going to defend you. And so the Greek word paraclete, one theologian says, means this. It means heavenly reinforcement summoned to your side. It means heavenly reinforcement summoned to your side. So again, think about it. You're in a court, you're on trial, and you have this advocate, you have this counselor who successfully defends your case, who brings heavenly reinforcement to your side. He's someone that will give you strength. He's someone that will be your reinforcer, your strengthener. He'll empower you. He'll give you victory. The Holy Spirit strengthens you. He gives you power to live above any challenge that comes your way. He's kind of like the tag team in a pro wrestling match where you're tired, you reach through the ropes, you tag them, it's like, help me, and this person jumps in to come beside you. So when you're down and you're struggling with disappointment, it's like, Holy Spirit, help me. And when you're struggling with a loss, it's Holy Spirit, comfort me. And when your faith is being tested, it's like, Holy Spirit, send me your reinforcements. Give me victory in the middle of this storm. And so point number three, the Holy Spirit brings heavenly reinforcement to deal with life's challenges. The Holy Spirit brings heavenly reinforcement to deal with life's challenges. But here's the deal. Once we've come to Christ and we're given this baptism of the Holy Spirit, the issue at this point in time is that you can't just sit back and let him take over. Because what is made very clear to us is that it's a combination of us actively pursuing spiritual growth along with the Holy Spirit. We work together. We work together. So we're either intentionally growing in our faith and putting effort towards it, or we're passively letting ourselves drift. I mean, just think about it. Think about how your spiritual life goes up and down, right? Oftentimes you'll see that. And oftentimes the main reason it drops is because we're not putting the energy towards being active in growing our faith. And we need to realize that faith is like a muscle, right? You've got to exercise the faith. If you exercise it, it's going to grow stronger. And if you don't exercise it, your muscles are going to atrophy and grow weaker. So are you going to actively pursue a strong faith in 2021, or are you going to passively sit back and just let yourself drift? Are you being clear with yourself with what you're pursuing in 2021? What's the one thing you're going to do to live this year with power and purpose in your life? And so point number four, are you going to actively pursue a strong faith or passively let it weaken? Are you going to actively pursue it or passively let it weaken? And so Mark's fast-paced narrative continues. In verses 9 through 13, says this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." So again, you have Jesus, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all right here. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. and he was with wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, I recently read something that gave me a little bit of insight on one of the phrases used here. And I want you to notice something. It says that the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. The Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. You know, Matthew and Luke accounts talk about how Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. He fasted during that time as well. And the Greek word used here for wilderness is the word eremos. And that word eremos means a number of things. Eremos means, and if you put it up on the screen here, you'll see desert, deserted place, desolate place, solitary place, lonely place, quiet place. Why would the Spirit drive Jesus out to a quiet place? Now think about it. Jesus has a short time on earth, right? His public ministry is only 3 years, and right now he's ready to start his ministry, and the first thing that happens is he's driven to a quiet place. I mean, think about it, you time management gurus. It's like, no, we need to get Jesus in front of people. He's got to be in front of people. We can't just have, you don't have time for this quiet place stuff. You only got 3 years. Why isn't he with people? Why did the Spirit drive him to a quiet place? Was it to be tempted? Now, we know that he was tempted by the devil during that time, but I think there's something much more here. Is it possible that he was driven to a quiet place to be empowered for the ministry that lay ahead? Yes. See, the sermon series is entitled Following Jesus, right? And if we're going to follow, you know, we talk about ourselves sometimes being a Jesus follower or a Christ follower, which means we're to follow what Jesus did. That's what it means. Jesus oftentimes found places, quiet places to pray. We see this in Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. That word again, eremos, where he prayed. Think about what Jesus is modeling for us. To get to a quiet place, to pray, to fast, to commune with the Father. Because in this process, when God gets a hold of our lives, he takes us to a place where he bolsters our faith and prepares us for what lies ahead. A place where he enables us to live a life with power and purpose. A place where he empowers us to rise above any challenge coming your way. A place where he gives us the strength to overcome the most difficult of circumstances. Oh, that we'd regularly find a quiet place to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you found a quiet place to be with our God? In verse 14, it says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus begins his public ministry, right? And the first thing he says is, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe. Now in scripture, the term repentance means a change of one's mind. A change of one mind. And it's not a minor change, but it's actually a radical change. Turning from sin, away from sin, and turning to God. Right? Turning away from all those things that hold us back, keep us from God, and turning to those things that bring us close to God. And repentance is not a one-time event. Sometimes we think it's just that, well, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Yes, you need to repent in order to be saved. But it's an ongoing process, right? Think about our spiritual life. As we talked about, it goes up and down. We've got to repent of those things that are holding us back and turning towards God. So when we think about the things that hold us back, you know, the thing that's holding back, we've got to turn away from that thing and turn towards God. We've got to turn away from that habit that's causing us problems and turn towards God. We got to turn away from that bad relationship, and we need to turn towards God. We got to turn away from that busyness that's keeping us from quiet places and turn towards God. What's the one thing you're going to do in 2021 that's going to build your faith and allow you to live your life with power and purpose? Now, this past year has been quite a whirlwind for me. Had a lot going on. Last 6 months, real crazy, a lot of different things. But the last month, I finally had a chance to find a quiet place. I finally had a chance to find a quiet place and spend time with God and reflect. And I've journaled throughout my life, my adult life, and I go back and I was able to reflect on some of the things that how I was feeling and whatever in prayers years ago. And there was something that stuck with me. There was something that struck me. And it was back in September when I was on a little trip with one of my sons to New York City and Philadelphia and D.C., places that I grew up in. My son said something to me. He was talking to me about prayer and the Holy Spirit. And all I can tell you is that when I was reflecting this past month, it was like that word that my son gave me. You know, you think you give your son. No. This is the beauty of the body. You know, it comes back to you. Sometimes we all need a word. He gave me a word. And what God spoke to me through my son was that you've been too busy. You know, I had kind of minimized some of my prayer time. I wasn't spending as much time as I had previously. And so what God was saying to me, and so the one thing that I'm going after this year is I am committed to spending much more time in prayer. I'm committed to finding that quiet place and spending more prayer time with God. And I've been doing it, and let me tell you, it's very rich. It's very rich, and it's unearthing a whole bunch of stuff. Whole bunch of stuff that is spilling over and actually good for my entire family for a lot of different reasons. And so I'm like, Holy Spirit, come. I want to live a life of power and purpose. And so I'm committing to more prayer time in 2021. So what's it going to be for you? Maybe you found yourself drifting. Maybe you're feeling that God is speaking to you. Maybe it's time to come back in favor with God. Maybe it's time to realize that no matter what's happened to you, no matter what problem you have, God can use it for good. Maybe it's time to realize that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's time to realize the resources that we have right at our fingertips. Maybe it's time to realize that the Holy Spirit gives us the heavenly reinforcement that we need to rise above any circumstance that comes into our life. And maybe it's time to realize that if we dedicate, when we dedicate our lives to God, He will give us a power and a purpose to rise above any challenge. So what's it gonna be in 2021 for you? You're either intentionally growing in your faith or you're passively letting yourself drift. And with all the political rancor, with all the craziness that's going on in politics, maybe it's time for us to realize the only thing that's going to change anything is a changed heart. Maybe it's time to realize that the most important thing we can do in the midst of our crisis is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only one who can change lives and mend the dividing walls that happen. Jesus says, come, follow me. Come, follow me, and the Holy Spirit will give you all the reinforcement you need to live a life of power and purpose. Are you going to actively grow your faith or passively let it drift? Active faith or passive drift? Which is it going to be for you in 2021? So I'm going to leave you with this challenge. It's the question I've been asking all throughout this. What's the one thing that you're going to do in 2021 that's going to build your faith and allow you to grow closer to God? You know, maybe it's reading. You're going to commit to reading to a couple chapters of the Bible a day. Or maybe it's, you know, I'm going to push my prayer life to 15 minutes a day or a half hour a day, whatever that might be. Or maybe it's just making sure you find your quiet time to have time with God. Again, it is not about a list. It is not about a checklist. It's about a relationship with God, a relationship with the one who is for you, the relationship with the one who does give us the abundant life if we seek him. Maybe it's like Jonathan Edwards who said, I'm going to study the scriptures steadily and constantly. Or he said, one of his prayer requests, resolutions was, I'm going to pray in such a way, I'm believing that God will answer all of my prayers. What's the one thing you're going to do in 2021 to build your faith and grow closer to God? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. We thank you, Father, for demonstrating to us your love that's so great that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have new life and we can have an abundant life. We thank you, Father, for helping us understand the distinction of the Godhead, an understanding that you give us the Holy Spirit who gives us heavenly reinforcement that's summoned to our side. Whenever we're going through a crisis, whatever struggle we're going through, we can call on the heavenly reinforcement of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. We thank you. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would fill us and guide us and empower us. May we be like Jesus. May we follow Jesus as we read, as we go through this series. May we follow him. May we follow him and be like him and go to quiet places where you can speak to us and empower us to live a life of power and purpose. And so, Father God, we pray, Lord, this would not be just a fleeting kind of like, yeah, I'll commit, and then I just kind of forget. But this would be a commitment that we actively pursue. So that when we look back next year, it's like, yes, yes, God. We said yes to you, and we can just sit here and give testimony after testimony of what you're doing, what you did in our lives. So all this we give to you. It's in the matchless name of Jesus the Messiah that we pray, and all of God's people say, amen.